We haven't spent a lot of time talking about the Colts, and a good reason to talk about the Colts is a new book called Blue Blood, and it's written by one of our favorites here on the show, one of the founders of 18to88.com, our good friend Nate Dunleavy, who's kind enough to join us here in the zone on XL950. Nate, always a pleasure. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. You know, if you want me to do any cursing in Spanish, I can probably oblige you.
Yeah, well, if you could look as comical and as big-boned, if you will, as Carlos Zambrano did in that Cubs dugout, then we'll certainly take you up on that.
I
usually like to read a good chunk of the book before we have an author on to plug it, but because you used my quote on the back cover, I think this is the first time I've been used on the back cover. I have no problem gushing all over it sight unseen.
Well, I just want to thank you so much, Derek. You've been such a huge supporter of 18to88 for so long, and a big participant as well. So it's really a privilege to be on with you today and to talk a little bit about the book and really talk about the horse.
Give us a little bit of background on the motivation to write this, Nate. Not only that, and just about the timing of this, because I felt like it was perfect with the Colts really at their peak, it feels like, right now.
That was really what motivated me to write the book. You know, And looking at the way the media sort of treated Indianapolis as the hosts for the Colts now, you know, there was the documentary on ESPN that came out last year, and the band marched on about the band that wouldn't die, or whatever it was, about the Baltimore fans that were so wronged and hurt when the Colts left. There's been an attitude that Indianapolis somehow is usurpers, or that we don't deserve the Colts, or that somehow we don't have as much history as Baltimore did. And I was just looking at a team at its absolute peak that's been in Indianapolis for now 26 years. They were only ever in Baltimore for 32 years. And I just decided that it was time that we write the story of the Indianapolis Colts and realize this is our team, and we have a history here, and there's a real fan base that's not shallow, that's actually quite deep, and that the Colts have become the number one passion sports-wise in the state of Indiana. And I just felt like it was the perfect time to tell that story and to finally get recognition for Colts fans and for the Colts as really being at home here in Central Indiana.
Nate Dunleavy joins us here in the zone on XL950, author of the new book, Blue Blood. I want to get a little bit more into that Baltimore thing in just a little bit here, Nate, but you talk about delving into the history of the Colts and including the rough beginnings there in the 80s, and I know that you personally look kind of at 1987 as the season where that really brought you on board. Was that really one of the first big dominoes to fall for you as far as your Colts fandom, them kind of surprising everybody and going to the playoffs after three or four not-so-strong years in their debut here in Indy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think in hindsight, a lot of people, you know, question the value of the trade for Dickerson, and which was really the thing that ignited the team. But looking back on it, Jim Irsay, who was the GM at the time, really made a move to make the Colts relevant, because not only were they not a good team for the first 3 years, they were a terrible team. And they had been a terrible team for several years before that in Baltimore. And he really took advantage of an opportunity to put the Colts on the front of everyone's mind. And at the time, I was a young fan, 9, 10, 11 years old, and to see an Indianapolis Colt on the front of Sports Illustrated, that galvanized me. Because like so many young fans, I grew up a Bears fan at first, you know what I mean? And it took time for the Colts to win my heart, and that was really the first step where I was like, oh, wow, the Colts are serious. The Colts are big. It's good to be a Colts fan. And that started a love affair that's still going on to this day.
Something that I've really enjoyed about really kind of an offshoot consequence of the book is that on 18to88.com, a lot of the loyal readers have been sharing the path that they took to Colts fandom. And it's funny because this team's so relatively new at 26 years here in Indianapolis. If you talk to a Redskins fan about, hey, why are you a Redskins fan? A lot of them probably say, well, my dad was a Redskins fan. My grandpa was a Redskins fan. And it just seems like there are so many different paths of how people became Colts fans, not only here in Indianapolis, but across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, you talk about motivations for writing the book. My third child was born last year, so I have three little kids. The oldest is 5. And I'm looking at them, and they are going to grow up never knowing anything except being Indianapolis Colts fans, which is really cool. And I'm excited about that. We don't tolerate traitors in our family. So to me, to let people tell their stories of this is how I became a Colts fan, and I was 12, or I was 20, or I was 5, or I was 3, that's a unique opportunity, because in another 20 years that's going to go by and everyone's going to be second or third generation Colts fans, which is a great thing and important for the long-term stability of the organization here in Indiana. But it's nice to be able to kind of chronicle these stories and to hear from people about how they fell in love with the Colts and what they mean to them. So that's been fun for me, too.
We talked a little bit about Baltimore, and I know that a couple of people have reached out to you as far as their stories of being old Baltimore Colts fans and just following their allegiance to Indianapolis. And I always felt like with the hatred that the Colts always saw in Baltimore and the anti-Colts shirts and things like that that they have over there, maybe because it's such a vocal majority that everybody there in Baltimore just despised all things Colts and all things Indianapolis. But I was surprised as to how many fans actually held on to their allegiances with the Colts as the team moved with the Mayflower trucks on that fateful night.
You know, I really was, too. We, at 1888, have been pretty adamant that we are an Indianapolis Colts site. We don't talk about the Baltimore Colts. We don't acknowledge them. And really, that's a reaction to the way Baltimore, I felt like, has wronged and treated Indianapolis, even to this day, refusing to put Colts on the scoreboard when Indy comes to town. They just put Ravens and Indy, which is a disrespect that they don't pay to any other NFL city. And that frankly, has rankled me. I was at the first Baltimore Ravens-Indianapolis Colts game, and the Baltimore fans that night had effigies of Bob Irsay and spent the entire game not even looking at the field. They did not look at the field. They spent the entire game backs to the field just berating us as Colts fans. And I held that grudge because I don't see it lifting very much. But it was kind of cathartic to me to read these stories and hear people that were Baltimore Colts fans that didn't lose their allegiance to the team. And that's really cool. And I feel like if there was more of that, I might be persuaded to be more lenient towards the Baltimore years. But really, as long as they disrespect my hometown, I'm really going to keep ignoring them.
I've been a big proponent, and I was saying this all during Super Bowl week, of officially closing the book on Baltimore. And I think that it would help repair some of the severed ties between the Baltimore Colts fans and that franchise to just kind of give them their own history. And with the way that the Colts have made their own history now, I believe the Super Bowl brought the Colts over. They've officially played more games now in Indianapolis than they did actually in Baltimore. Do you feel like that'd be a good thing? Because you see some of these other teams move, like the Ravens don't take any of the Browns history. Of course, Cleveland has recreated itself, so maybe that's kind of the exception to the rule. But I feel like Baltimore, the history that they made there should stay in Baltimore, because Unitas, to me, or to people here in Indianapolis, he's not a figure of any kind of note as far as being a hometown kind of guy like Peyton Manning is, and I'm sure the same could be said about Peyton in Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, I really agree with that, Derek, and that's one of the reasons why in the back of Blue Blood there's an appendix with Indianapolis Colts records, who played the most games, who had the most tackles, as an Indianapolis Colt, mm-hmm. not as a Baltimore Colt. Obviously, the Colts names and jersey and everything else is now part of our history and part of our legacy here in Indianapolis. But I think there is something to be said for saying, you know what, I saw an article last week that was proponing what players should have their numbers retired, and they said number 88, and it was for the Colts, and they were wanting John Mackey's number retired with number 88. Now, I'm not saying John Mackey wasn't a fine player; he obviously was. And probably deserves to have his number retired. But let's face it, when number 88 gets retired by the Indianapolis Colts, and it will be retired, there is only one person that any of us are going to be thinking of, and that's the great Marvin Harrison, and absolutely not John Mackey. So I am absolutely fine with that, and I would be fine with the Baltimore Ravens. If the Baltimore Ravens want to retire number 88 for John Mackey, God bless them.
Yeah.
They should retire Johnny Unitas' number. That's fine. But don't expect us to retire 88 and put Mackey up there along with Harrison. To me, that would be a little bit offensive as a Colts fan.
I was walking over to the playoff game this year, going through downtown, and I think I was outside of Howl at the Moon, and a kid walked out with a Johnny Unitas Ravens jersey on, and I just said under my breath, whatever helps you sleep at night, man.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. And you know what? But that's fine. They can have Unitas. We've got Manning, and I'll take that trade. That's a straight up deal, and they can have Johnny U, and we'll take Peyton. And I know Peyton's had a lot of respect for Unitas, and that's wonderful, and I have nothing but respect for him too. But he belongs in Baltimore. That was where he chose to be before he died. He refused to embrace the Colts here in Indianapolis. So I can't claim a lot of ownership with him as a fan.
And I think another reason why they need to sever ties when your franchise player is so disillusioned with Indianapolis and things like that, it just seems kind of like you're mocking his legacy when you talk about him being in the Colts record books with Peyton Manning and people like that. I just wish that they would just kind of separate those two. Nate Dunleavy, founder of 1888.com, also wrote the new book, Blue Blood, which is in bookstores now. Let's talk a little bit about the current state of the team, Nate. The holdouts are worrying a lot of people with Reggie Wayne and Robert Mathis. Do you think that this will affect the team negatively at all as this kind of continues over the next couple of weeks?
Zero impact. This is less than no story. This has nothing to do. If this was a normal year, if this was just any other year, first of all, I don't think you'd see these holdouts. But then you might be a little more worried. Wow, guys are being selfish. Guys are worried about themselves instead of the team. But this isn't a normal year. There's a major CBA negotiation, collective bargaining negotiation going on, and there's a lot of players that are really afraid they're going to be out of work in a year. In other words, they're going to have jobs, but they're not going to be able to go to those jobs. So these are guys that are trying to get paid now. They're trying to take care of their family now. And, you know, come training camp, they're going to be there. Missing a mini camp is like missing a practice 4 months before your first game. Is it great when guys are there? Sure. Does it make any difference at all in the long run? No. There's nothing that happened at that mini camp that would have made any difference if Reggie Wayne and Robert Mathis had been there. These are things that we can get riled up about as fans, but they don't really matter in the long run. So I'm assuming both players are going to be there with bells on for the start of regular training camp, and I don't think there'll be any long-term holdover from this.
From those that know you personally, some know that you've gone international and lived down in Argentina with your family. What do you think about them and the World Cup hopes?
I couldn't be happier. You know, I'm a little bitter. You're talking about the World Cup being over. It's going full bore for me. I'm a massive Argentina fan. I used to be a soccer hater like so many people, and I have a lot of empathy for those that don't like soccer, but having lived in Argentina now for 8 years, I've come to really understand it and appreciate it. And so, no, I'm thrilled. I couldn't be happier about Argentina. My family just bought about 15 or so Argentina jerseys to take back to cousins and uncles and friends and stuff. But back in the States, we're heading back tomorrow. So, you know, we've got World Cup fever, I guess you could say.
Well, more details on BlueBloodBook.com. You can also connect with Blue Blood on Facebook, 1888.com. We'll have details. Amazon.com, all that, Nate?
Yeah, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. If people want to buy it from some local merchants, Teapots and Treasures at 7 Market Street, or you can go by Metro Arbor Supplies at 7055 Kaufman Road. That's the family store. You can probably look up my brother Luke, the mysterious co-author of 1888.com. So, yeah, check out the book. If you're an old Colts fan, you'll love it. If you're a new Colts fan, you need to read it.
Like I said, Nate, always great to have you on the show. Safe travels to you and your family, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Derek. Have a good one.